Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Jillian Chase. She came in sixth place in our open contest. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to venusindex.com and check out her pictures. So you did well. You look really good. And wherever you want to start, we can start. How about your history with how did you find us in the first place?
I found you via iTunes because I just subscribe to a lot of different podcasts, and I'm always looking for, you know, new things to listen to. So basically I, you know, typed in fitness one day or something, somehow came up with it. And what first caught my eye was the episode titles, like cardio or diet for weight loss, or how to get rid of cellulite, or I think there was one called calorie guessing back in the early days. And it just, that caught my eye. So I gave you guys a listen.
Oh, that was it. Okay. So it was the podcast that kind of got you like interested. So how long were you listening there before you started to actually use the program?
I actually listened for probably about 6 months. I found the podcast in January, and I actually listened to y'all for about 6 months before I purchased the program, because I didn't purchase the program until June. And it was just with me. I have purchased so many different lifting programs and different types of exercise programs, and I was really on a down, kind of a down, not spiral, but just sort of a downer about the whole health and fitness industry at that point. Mm. And I was like, yeah, these guys are really interesting, and, you know, I agree with what they say, but I'm just not going to purchase anything else. And I just fought it and fought it and fought it, and then one day decided, well, what the heck, I've been listening to them for 6 months, I might as well go ahead and purchase it.
So it took us 6 months to convince you.
It took you 6 months to convince me, yeah.
Oh, man, you might be the toughest one yet. I don't know anyone who's taken that long. Okay, so was there any particular thing that we said? And, like, was there a particular episode that got you, or was it just the accumulation of listening, and then it was finally you felt like it was time to change up what you were doing as far as your workout and stuff?
Just everything. Yeah, it was an accumulation of everything, because – everything that you guys were saying made sense to me and my history and my body and how it had responded to things in the past. I've been working out in one form or another since I was 12 years old. And I've done a lot of different things. I have, you know, I'm one of those people that the girls talk about online that, you know, you name it, I've done it. I've been paleo. I've been a vegetarian. I've been a vegan. I have counted macros. I have packed my little cooler even when it was inconvenient and eaten six bodybuilding meals a day. I've done all that. And I just got so burned out on it that's what that whole downer on the whole health and fitness industry thing was about. I was just sick of it, and I needed a break. But everything that you guys were saying made sense to me with what had worked in the past for me, because I started out counting calories and paying attention just to the basics, energy in, energy out. And it always worked for me. I got lost for a long, long time in all the stuff that everyone wanted you to believe about, you know, your metabolism is broken and you're starving yourself and, you know, all that crap. I just got lost in it.
So this is a similar story, but do you remember... I think your after pictures are awesome. What have you ever been in that condition before? Like any of the other, all these other things you've tried in the past, or?
Yes, I have, but the difference is, and I was actually even a little bit leaner than my after pictures, but the difference is I was so unhappy when I was there before. It was insane. I had constant, continual cravings for sweets. It's all I thought about. I was grumpy. I was bitchy. You asked my family, they were like, what is wrong with you? Because I couldn't eat what I wanted to eat. You know, they used to laugh at me and say, you know, have your sticks and twigs now. And then what would happen would I would get in that condition for just a brief period of time, like for a vacation or whatever, and then I would rebound because I couldn't stand it. I could not maintain that lifestyle.
And then, okay, so did you, okay, so, well, and that's a big distinction there, the ability to get in shape but be miserable doing it or actually be happier doing it. That's it's kind of like when we talk about, I don't think we've ever pointed it out that way, that all those other diets can and will work. It's just, what are they going to do to you on the way? Like, are you going to get there in spite of the whole process? So did you AGD your way to this one or ESC? Like, what did you actually do this time?
I mainly AGD'd my way to it. What had happened was when I got sort of disillusioned with the whole health and fitness and the whole bodybuilding mindset, 6 meals a day, count your protein, blah, blah, blah thing. It was last fall that happened. And what had happened was I got down to probably a weight pretty close to where my after pictures were, went on vacation, came home, and just, it wasn't a complete and utter rebound that I gained a whole bunch of weight. I just was sick to death of working out, of watching my diet, of everything. And I just decided I was going to take some time off last fall and basically just do what I felt like doing, which was pretty much nothing. And I gave myself permission to eat whatever I wanted within reason. And really, I started reading books about intuitive eating because what had happened was I was having all these cravings and just I felt on the verge of being out of control. And I think it was because of the severe restriction I was doing in types of food. I mean, I was listening to people that were telling me to not even eat fruit. You know,
Stop right there. at any point, I know that's part of the progression of the like orthorexic restriction to the end.
Right.
Did that not ring like sort of untrue to you that like, okay, so now these people are telling me even fruit is bad? Like what's, did that not set the bell off, or did you like find a way to rationalize that in your head too, that like labeling fruits is bad too?
It's crazy. I found a way to rationalize it because I had it in my head that that was the only way that I could, quote, look the way I wanted to look. And the way I wanted to look, and I think this is very important, it was important for me and a lot of girls to understand, the way I thought I wanted to look was impossible on a day-to-day, 365 days of the year basis, and also on the basis of my body type. Impossible.
Okay, so go with that then. What was the way you wanted to look? Where'd you get your idea?
I got my idea from places like figureathlete.com. I worked actually for an amateur bodybuilder for a time in the capacity of her main business, and her stage look. That was all I saw. That was what I, and she was kind of coaching me during this whole thing. And, it's really funny. I saw her on stage and, drop dead gorgeous and the muscles, yet it never equated to me that the other, 10 months out of the year, she looks like a little butterball because she gains and loses like 20, 25 pounds in her off season.
Yep.
And I just, my head was just messed up with this stuff. So no, I did find a way to rationalize it when they're, I had people telling me to go out and buy these obscure ingredients and, pack my little cooler and not eat fruit and do all this crazy stuff and buy these supplements. And I listened to them. I thought that was the way to, get to where I wanted to be against what my gut and the history of me and my body type, because I'm a curvy girl. Against all of that, I was following what they were telling me.
Okay, so then what makes you finally think that you did? What causes you to ditch that concept?
Well,
like was that hard? By the way, was it hard to like sort of abandon that?
It was, but then again, it wasn't, because I was so frustrated and I was so just angry on a daily basis because I couldn't eat what I wanted to eat. And last fall, when I got home from vacation and I was really disillusioned and just decided, okay, what I need to do is just move as much as I feel like moving, eat what I want to eat. And I started getting interested in the concept of intuitive eating. That was the first thing. And so I read a couple books on intuitive eating. And then I also suffered from anorexia when I was in high school. And I have a real interest in disordered eating. It, you know, it fascinates me because I've been through some of that. So I also last fall read Portia de Rossi's book, Unbearable Lightness, I think it's called. And it's just about her being anorexic and dealing with that. And those two things kind of struck me because she's recovered from anorexia and does sort of an intuitive eating type thing. So I spent the whole fall just basically eating what I wanted to eat, but trying to keep it within reason. And, you know, yeah, I gained a little weight. I think probably at my highest, I was around 130 pounds, but it was nothing like, I didn't gain 50 pounds or anything like that. And it just told me that my body, it was really weird. Once I gave my body what it was craving, the cravings stopped. I wasn't thinking about chocolate 24 hours a day. I wasn't wanting to eat an entire bag of Doritos. And around the time that those cravings stopped is probably around the same time I started listening to you guys. So.
And so did that sort of, did our story sort of mesh with what you were doing?
It did. I mean, you think about things like AGD. I mean, you're talking about eat what you want to eat. Eat what your body is telling you to eat or your mind's telling you to eat or what you want. So it did mesh for me. It really meshed. And the whole concept of eat, stop, eat did as well because I did used to do fasting until I became convinced that I had broken my metabolism and was starving myself to death and all that crap. So it was just very familiar territory to me.
Okay, so it sounds like you're getting into a better place with your with how you dealt with food. So then what stimulated you to want to do the contest or to submit your pictures?
Well, I had said the entire time that I was not going to, that I might shadow the contest, but I was not going to do the contest. And I had said that several times because I was afraid. I was basically afraid I didn't want to put too much pressure on myself because I thought that maybe my eating disorder would rear its ugly head.
I was actually going to ask that. Is that something that's sort of in the back of your mind about this sort of thing, like taking it too seriously?
It is. And I do think that people with that consideration, you've got to know your limitations, I think. And there were certain limitations that I knew that I had when I thought through it that I'll get to that really – they sort of steered how I approached the contest. So I decided I would go ahead and I would throw my pictures in there and I made a pact with myself that if it got too much, if it got too much pressure, if I was doing crazy things that I knew weren't good for me, that I was not going to submit my after photos. I would just pull from the contest, you know, because my health was more important than that. And really weirdly, what happened for me was it almost made me have a healthier perspective because I was determined to take it through to the end on my terms, meaning I wasn't going to restrict anything. I was going to do AGD clear up until the end. You know, I had kind of thought about doing a water load, and then I ended up doing sort of a little mini water load, which wasn't even really a traditional water load. It was really important for me for those after pictures to be me every day. You know, and I still do have a little ways to go and I want to improve, but I want to be able to live in that skin. And I think that was one of the deals that I made with myself because of my eating disorder that actually helped me, you know, maintain sort of that sanity throughout the contest.
So I like the way you said. So obviously you accomplished it. You made it to the end in the way you wanted to then.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there are things that I could have done to have come in a little bit drier, a little bit looking a little bit more muscular. There were things that I could have done. I could have cut certain foods. I could have done a full water load. I knew for me that stuff was going to make me crazy. And I just, you know, a lot of people that it works for, but I knew for me because of my history that it wouldn't, and I just could not go that route.
Well, what you're describing reminds me of Kimberly Dransfield from the first contest. She wants to display her quote everyday Venus.
Absolutely.
Just what you are on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Right? And we've been joking about that lately. I've been calling it Eva, the everyday Venus animal. That I want to get to Eva. Yeah, that's very important to me. And it's just because of that history with food.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, so as far as the workouts go, tell me, was that different from what you've done before? Or when you were doing, what'd you do anyways?
When I purchased the program, it was right around the time for the contest to start, a little bit later. But when I purchased the program, I started doing the program, the original, and
right.
I loved it because when I started working out at 12, that's what I started doing. I started lifting weights, basically. I actually discovered the same book that I think Chris had discovered, which was Rachel McLeish's Flex Appeal.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I fell in love with muscles on a woman. So my brother had a weight set, so I started lifting weights. And I worked at a gym in college, so I know my way around the gym pretty well. And I've been more of a cardio bunny at various times in my life, but I never stopped lifting weights. You know, it was always, even if it wasn't my main workout, it was in the background. So it was great to get back to that. I think it's just what I needed at that time after having come through that period where I was like, I don't even want to do anything. So that was really good. And then, you know, basically I just kept doing the first program. I was thinking about at the end of the contest, that was when the assassination workouts came out, and I had purchased circuits already and done a few of those, and I was thinking about doing assassination, and Kimberly said, don't do that. Don't do that yet. So I held off on it until after the contest was over.
Oh yeah, because yeah, they're I haven't even seen what their whole
it's
situation.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
It's a little much, eh?
Yeah, it is. It's tough. I've actually had to modify it a little bit because I do still want to be in a little bit of a deficit because I need to get my waist down a tiny bit more, and then, you know, at the same time build up my shoulders and my hips. So it's very tiring, so I've had to modify the circuit part a little bit.
Sure. Okay, well then, so post-contest right now, where are you at as far as everyone has a little bit of a, we're not too far removed, but right now, how do you feel and what's your goals moving forward here?
I feel great. I have not rebounded one bit. You know, I've went up a couple pounds, and as I said, I'm still trying to work in a little bit of a deficit because I do want to lose some more. But I just picked up my workout, just picked them back up and just tried to, since I didn't do any crazy cutting, I really didn't have to change the way I was eating. I've tried to do a couple fast days and it hasn't really worked out very well. I think I'm fairly lean right now, so I think my body is kind of like, no, I don't think I want to do that. You know, I've been pretty hungry, but it's manageable. I feel mentally sound about the whole thing. And I just want to keep moving forward. Like I said, I need to lose a little bit more on my waist, and I need to build up my shoulders and hips. And I know that's just going to come from lifting. So that's what I'm concentrating on.
Mm, right. And I mean, I know that some people will be looking at your pictures and be like, well, there's nothing left for her to do, but it's, same thing with Kim, and same with a lot of girls. It's everyone's prerogative to keep improving, no matter where their actual numbers are, right? So,
right.
And that's, I mean, it's kind of part of the whole point of all of this. There's always a way to improve if you want to improve. I don't even think it's being obsessive as much as is being, well, that's the whole point. Like, what else can you do with yourself, right? And like you said,
right.
It's having a healthy attitude about it, not a you're. It's like you're in control of it instead of it's in control of you, sort of thing.
Absolutely. And I think that the peace of mind with me comes from also, there was an episode that you did, the one with Dr. Bird.
Nicola, I mean, yeah, she's great.
Oh, my God. All through the contest, I kept having these light bulb moments, but that episode with her, it was just amazing. And then there was another point this summer where, you know, I really started, you know, when you talk about it improving and it not being obsessive, I really started to accept the fact that my body is not one of those boyish athletic bodies. You know, I've thought that all my life. I've always wanted to be something that I'm not as far as a body type goes. And for, you know, Venus has helped me really accept the fact that, hey, I have curves. I can work with them. it's not so bad. You know, the grass is always greener.
Oh, yeah.
But really, it's not. And so I think with that realization, it's become also easier for me to not feel like I'm obsessing about improving. It's just that, hey, this is what I want to do. There are improvements that can be made. If I don't hit the numbers exactly on the mark, okay. But it's all about being happy with yourself. And it's not that I'm not happy. It's just that I'm having fun and I would like to move forward.
Okay. So, well, yeah, of course. So talk about the numbers and what did you thought when you read the concept of VI and how our metrics work out, and that eventually we kind of tell people to ditch body weight and just go to shape. And then I guess Eventually it's just a look in the mirror.
Right. It was very familiar to me because of the body type that I have. And the first thing I thought was, well, holy cow, you know, I could actually do this. I could actually do this, whereas I could not be basically a body type that I'm not. And so that was the first
thing.
That seems
so plain on its face, but that actually took you time to accept that.
It did. And if you're right, it seems like, well, that's pretty simple. But for me, for, you know, my mind had just been so messed up with this concept of what I wanted for so many years that it did take a while for it to dawn on me that, hey, this is exactly what these guys are talking about here.
So has our concept of goal hijacking resonated with you then?
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so then you look at our numbers, and then you're like, this makes sense,
yeah. And then the thing that was not familiar to me that I still do need to work on is that, you know, when you say eventually it's the mirror, you go from the scale to the tape and the mirror, that you're not even looking at the scale. I do still look at the scale, and it's probably something that I need to break away from eventually, but for now, It's my mark. It's what keeps me honest. So I still use it because it's one of those things that I've used it since I was 12 years old. You know, I don't really think of it as hijacking anything. I just think, you know, it's my comfort zone.
Yeah. You know what? I just interviewed one of the Adonis winners, and he said that the scale moves the total number on the scale, since it's a bigger movement to him.
Mm-hmm.
It matters more. So he's like at 1 or 2 inches on his waist, or 2 or 3 just sounds so small. Whereas like 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds on the scale sounds big. So he's like, he's learned to correlate the number on the scale to the look he wants, and more or less to the inches. But 1 or 2 inches just sounds so small to him. It sounds inconsequential, even though like 2 inches on his waist and up to 3 inches on his waist, it really means he's sort of letting the look go away now. But three inches just sounds tiny to him, whereas he looks at the scale and like 10 to 11 pounds might equate to 3 inches on the waist. But he's like, oh, okay, 11 pounds, now I got to do something. But or 3 inches, just it's almost as if the number itself just is too small for him to conceptualize, I have to change. So I think once you become like comfortable with what the scale really means, then it's a useful proxy. But yeah, it depends on how lean you are too, whether or not the scale sort of – you have to get used to it. I almost think now it's not necessary. I almost think we need to update our thought process of it's the scale, then it's measurements, then it's the mirror. And then Jason Gottlieb pointed out that even the mirror can play tricks on you when you're looking at it, because you can't tell. You don't objectively see yourself. You only ever subjectively see yourself. So I think the progression is scale, tape measure, mirror, picture. And then you actually have to take pictures on some regular basis, and then when you look at the picture, that's about as objective as you ever can get about yourself, because even in the mirror live, you don't really see yourself as others do, but in a picture you can step away from yourself even more, so it's almost as if the most accurate view you'll ever have of yourself is in a still picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do remember, I listened to that podcast with him, and I do remember that, and that did resonate with me, that was probably correct. And I do what I do sort of some days too. I mean, I weigh myself every day. I am one of those girls that I get up and that's the first thing I do every morning. But sometimes what I'll do is I'll look in the mirror first and try to guess what I think I weigh. You know, just based on, okay, I look pretty dry today. I bet I weigh this because I'm a little bit dehydrated.
Right.
And I can recognize that, okay, that fluctuation of a couple pounds on the scale is, is due simply to dehydration, bloating, you know, a big meal late last night, whatever. It's not fat. I mean, I'm there with that. I understand that, which is a big step for me.
Oh, so is that a new thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Like this time last year, you know, if I weighed 115 as opposed to, or if I weighed, say, 120 as opposed to 115, that 5 pounds is all fat.
Oh, you never conceived of the idea or thought that it could just be water and bloat, maybe just food in your system?
No. No.
Oh, wow. That's exhausting.
It is. Oh my, it is. It was. It was horrible. I mean, my family comments, the other thing that's funny is that I think I'm probably one of the only girls that did this thing completely covertly all the way through. Nobody knew I was doing it. Not my mate, not my stepson, not none of my friends. Nobody knew I was doing it. But there was a certain point where my mate made a comment about how happy I was. And he basically couldn't understand why I was in such a good mood all the time. You know, like he would be like, do you want to go out and get something to eat? Sure. You know, yeah. Whereas before it was like, oh no, I shouldn't be eating that. It's going to be too much temptation and I don't want, you know.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well then that's good. So what, okay. So towards the end here, you've looked at I mean, I'm assuming you're happy with your final look so far. What kind of, I don't know, what advice would you give to other girls and what kind of, you know, like you said, you've come from an eating disorder to the point where you're accepting foods, all foods, like the AGV style. What's your advice and your sort of what you've learned and you'd want to relate to other people?
Well, first of all, it's trust yourself and trust the concept. And second is it takes a long time to untrain all the stuff that basically you've been hijacked by. It takes a long, long time. And you just have to be a part of the process and trust in what's going on, and take advantage of the community because there is so much support out there and so many people that have been through so many of the same things. But there's always someone to talk to about it. And, you know, it took me, I mean, the entire process of me getting so disillusioned with what was going on with my health and fitness and then taking those final pictures was almost a year. It just takes a long time. And it's tedious sometimes and you're going to get tired and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to think that you're broken and that your metabolism is messed up and you're going to want to revert back to all those beliefs. And the only thing that I can say is just don't do it. Just reach out to someone and, you know, get some ideas going on and talk to people.
And is that part of how you use the community then to kind of keep your head like level? Because I know people will post or some, every now and then I'll get an email and they're like, you know, I've seen another round of winners, but I find myself if you don't kind of daily remind yourself, some people just slip right back into, yeah, but I still really think I should eat those 5 meals. Or, yeah, I really, you know, they just, like you said, it's been hammered into people's heads. If you're not constantly reaffirming, or who said it? Positive brainwashing? Like, listen to the podcast to just brainwash yourself, but, you know, in a positive way versus the old.
Right.
It just goes back if you don't force it, like on a daily basis, to get it out of there.
It does. It does. And when I made a deal with myself that when I joined the community that I would blog, that, you know, no matter how busy I was, that I would blog and I would basically, I would put pen to paper on my experience because that was the only way I could do that positive brainwashing and that I would participate. And yeah, I think that is the most important thing. And that is how I took advantage of it. Just put stuff out there and trusted that people were going to be honest and supportive and that's the difference too, because I've been in other online communities. I know a lot of the girls have talked about this. And it is different. It is very supportive. It's not snarky. It's not, I've been in communities that are very snarky and very just bashing to people and their ideas and their questions, and it's not that kind of place.
What, and I've heard that before, and I don't get that. What do you? Can you even shed any? Do you have a guess as to why it gets that way in other communities?
I don't know if it's the if it, I mean, chicks are weird.
You know? So glad you said that, not me.
We just are. It's so odd. I don't understand about women why we would rather tear each other down than prop each other up. And you know, was it you guys that were talking about the crabs in a bucket thing?
Yeah.
Was that Brad that mentioned that one? It's like that. That's women. And I don't get that. But for whatever reason, you know, this group of women in this community is not like that. I don't know. It's because a lot of them say this is their first online community. I know the reason that I stuck with it and it's so refreshing for me is because I've been in other places that aren't this positive. But, you know, I guess some people just lucked out and found this one. But I don't, women are just weird like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, you guys are so, so competitive with each other. It's just, and sometimes it's not competitive on the face. It's sort of like a, sort of a more of a underlying sinister competition. I don't know. It's just.
It
from,
is.
From all the, yeah, from all the different stories I've heard from so many different girls with this, it's like their best friends will, the minute you start getting in better shape than that, all of a sudden your best friend's not your best friend anymore. And there's just, I just don't.
Yeah.
It just sounds so difficult and so much more challenging than it needs to be. Whereas guys are like, oh, good for you. I wish I could have done it. Right? Like it's, that's about the, I don't know. It's just different. I mean, I guess I don't necessarily envy you guys in from that respect, but I guess that's why our community is helpful.
Well, it's like, you know, there are 10 of us competing for one man, and that's the way we approach everything. You know, I mean, that's what I think of women sometimes. It's like, my God, it's like there's one man left on the planet and y'all want him. Stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, where is that? I don't know where that mindset comes from, but it's definitely there. And I almost think also that maybe the reason that this community has not taken on that vibe or didn't from the beginning is because there are guys behind it. Yeah. You know, there's not that initial competition there because it's guys that came up with the concept. It's not women. You know, there's nothing to compete at the base with. So, you know, I don't know.
You think that might have something to do with it? I always wondered how it would go off with how we could pull it off with a group of guys starting a community for women.
For women, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's the advantage. Who knows? That I did. I've never considered it that way because I'm not going to pretend like I actually know what you guys think. I don't have the. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't consider. I'm not very old, like, but in 37 years, I've figured out the square root of nothing about women. I can't imagine 37 years from now will be any further ahead.
Well, my guy would say, I don't have the time or energy to even try and figure out the way you all think. So.
Oh, my God. I think I could figure out cold fusion before what you guys would think.
Absolutely.
Okay, so for Jillian Chase, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast. Mm-hmm.